Hey, this is Anthony Crescenzo. Welcome back to Why, where I pretty much just ask myself questions for the most part. The episode, or the segment rather, that we're going to do right now is having a lot to do with not booking a show. And I know I did like probably three segments in a row of booking, one way or another, either booking a show, booking a comedian, talking about booking. But I'm doing something. It's like a practice space. It's not exactly an open mic. First of all, I'm not advertising my shows. I would prefer them just be for whoever's going to be there. With my midweek shows, some of them, like the owners actually want me to advertise. Others, they don't want it advertised, and that's fine. Because if I'm getting told by the bartenders, don't ever, you know, don't even bother to advertise because the owner's not going to know about it. And then, you know, you're not going to get your contract. That's fine. My big thing is, though, I want these to be spaces where I can go and I could do larger amounts of time. I could do like a 30 or 45 minute set. I could do an hour. And I don't worry about how many audience members there are. Because, you know, sometimes there's one person, sometimes it's, you know, just about at capacity, and I just get to do what I normally do, and I get to rehearse, kind of like a musician would. The same thing. I get to try out my stuff. The only issue that I would have is, with what I do, it's a story, so they, like, as soon as I start it, they're going to know how I'm finishing it if it takes more than 60 seconds. So that makes it a little more difficult, which means that I do have to do more crowd work. I do have to think on my feet. There's a pro and a con to that. The pro is that I get to learn more about myself and I get to learn more about the people I'm talking to. I get to hear about their day. It's almost like I'm sitting next to them at a bar, or I'm calling them up on the phone, but I'm right in front of their face. And then the con to it is that I'm really not going through my material. But then even that con, I'm not going through my material. I'm learning about this new thing. The bad part is on that I'm not going through my material. So those jokes are sitting until like the next day or 2 days later or whenever I can do them, where I'm working in front of an audience that I don't know. But the other side of that comes down to, all right, I'm not working on things that I know. I'm going to do brand new stuff that I don't know. I have no idea if it works on the next people, but if I happen to say something and it winds up being funny and it really didn't have to do with that exact moment in time, and you never know if you're going to realize that's what's what or not, is that, so I'll come up with something, or somebody will say something to me, and then I'll bring it into the next show where it actually is advertised, and, you know, maybe it's one line, maybe it's two lines, maybe it's a whole story that like somebody told me or I thought about in that moment. And because I had all that time to go through those things, my private workout show, now when I go to that next place, I have this thing that it's hard to come up with new stuff if you're, you know, let's say you're going to work, or let's say you're sitting at home all day long. What are you going to do? I don't know why, but there was a point in time, and I wouldn't be too surprised if it still exists, where comedians literally just talk about what they read in the news and what they see on TV and television shows that they watch and music that they listen to. And I never want to be that person. I always want to be the guy who talks about stuff that is very personal to me. Like it's about, I want to talk about my journey, how things go for me. I'm not concerned with, I shouldn't say it that way. I am concerned with who the president is at any given time. I am concerned with who the governor is at any given time. I am concerned with who the mayor is at any given time. That's all important for the place that you live and the taxes that you pay. The roads that you drive on, the plowed roads, the unplowed roads, like everything, the sewage, the water, the lights, the electricity, the gas, the ability to breathe the air. You don't realize it, but that's all politics. And when people bring that up to me at a show, I get it, but that's not where I live. I don't live to talk about the presidents. I don't live to talk about the cops, or I don't live to talk about the firefighters, or the public works employees, or the senators, or the congressmen, or what's going on with this musician and that musician, and what gossip is this and what gossip is that. If there is a little bit for me to talk about in there, that like I can actually relate to, and I could tell like a story, or I like have a little thing, like, maybe I met somebody that's cool, and I can have that little kind of an interaction, or I thought of a story of somebody that maybe, or maybe I did never meet that person, but then that's my personal journey, and I'm bringing you in on my personal journey. Or somebody else is telling me a story about their personal journey, and then I'm getting to go into there, and now they're like, hey, you can use that, because I have never heard somebody tell me a story, and then I have to say to them, there's a great story. Can I use it? Because if they told me that story and I've had a microphone in my hand, they will tell me I can reuse that story. Because then this is the truth. If I tell a story and you hear it on a television show, or you see it on a television show, or a radio program, or even at an event that I'm doing, you actually have a sense of pride that someone who other people listen to just told your story. That's like when somebody writes a book about you. That makes sense if you're the president, right? Like somebody's gonna write a book about you. They got to get your memoirs, because you've had quite a life if you've been in that position. You had 4 years of something crazy. If you were a top cop somewhere, if you are a hero firefighter, if you're in a big position, or if you've done something crazy, you've had an out of body experience, or near death experience, or you're a famous doctor or a famous scientist and you cured something, or you're an activist or something, you made a change, or you are the best pool player and you won a major tournament or a bunch of major tournaments, or I'll go out and say this, you're Phil Ivey. You know what I mean? Like you're famous. You've been on television, you've won all these poker tournaments, and at the time when you became famous, you were young, and like everybody, you were like the cool guy and a room of guys that people watching television would not necessarily think are cool guys. But then they looked at you and they're like, all right, maybe this could be cool. Maybe sitting at a table with a bunch of old dudes, maybe this could be all right. You know what I mean? If you had that kind of life, you should have a book written about you. Somebody should be out there telling your story who's not necessarily you, because maybe you're not a good storyteller, but that person is. But you have a good story that just needs to be told by somebody that could tell a story better than you can. And then when they tell me these stories, when I'm standing there in the middle of a bar, and or they tell me after I get done in the middle of a bar, restaurant, whatever it is, and then they say to me afterwards, when I give them that look, like, thank you. That was a great story. That you actually, this is captivating. I feel like we just did not waste each other's time by having this conversation, because you were telling me a story about something that happened with you or one of your friends, and you were very excited about it. And then you telling it to me because you're excited about it. And now it is an exciting story, and now I got excited about it. And you seeing the excitement in my face and recognizing this guy could not just tell this story. This guy might actually be able to make this story better. And if it's the person's story, who's telling me the story. That's huge. Because then when they hear me tell that story somewhere else, they have that sense of pride. Like, he's talking about me. And he could turn to his friends and be like, yo, you know that's me, right? And they're like, yeah, we remember you telling that story. Like, I can't believe that guy up there is telling your story. Like, yeah, I know. I told you I met him. Like, I told you that, you know, we were at this place and, you know, he comes down on, you know, whatever, and he just comes in and he rehearses. And sometimes I rehearse the same things that these. I'll go out on a limb and say this. They probably don't like this reference, but dive bars, restaurants are good, but for just a straight rehearsal, just to like try out stuff that you're just banging away at it. Dive bars are a lot like comedy clubs, except harder. I'll never forget this. I used to work at a place. I used to work for a comedy club, and that comedy club on a Monday would give me 4 minutes, right? 4 or 5 minutes. And they would record me, and I could be on television on California or something like that. But I like never saw that station until like, I think last year I found out about it, and it was a long time ago. And it was great that they hooked me up with that. It was like, honestly, it was wonderful that someone saw me and said, we want to use you for this thing. But then they wanted to put me on the late spot, and you know, I'm still doing like 4 or 5 minutes. And then one of my friends said, I had this place. By the way, the place I'm talking about right now no longer exists. The dive bar. I got this dive bar. It was a piano bar. And he was like, if you come down on Mondays, I'll give you as much time as you want to go up and tell your jokes, tell your stories. And he didn't own the place. He was the MC. And I said, okay, I'll go. Because I had been giving him some stuff on the weekend, so he gave me that Monday thing. But his Monday thing was worth more to me than I think that my Saturday was worth to him. Like, my Wednesday was hot. My Wednesday was actually Wednesday or Thursday. I forget what it was at the time. That was a hot day at that particular place. And that place is defunct as well. It sounds like every place that I go, right, just by these stories alone, it sounds like every place that I go winds up going out of business. And I know right now, like, if you're looking at the date of like when I'm putting this out, the time period, it's like, yes, a lot of places have gone out of business very recently. These places didn't go out of business recently. These places went out of business like years ago. So it was well before there was any, problems with the economy. Now, with all that said, I'm having an issue figuring out whether the rehearsal show that I normally do tonight, if I should do it tonight. But I would have to go late, or I'd have to go early. Like, I mean extremely, because I have I have an appointment, like a doctor's. I have to do this, like, one doctor's appointment. It's a big meeting that I got to do. It takes like an hour. And then I have another appointment right after that, which is more like what we're doing right now. I'm supposed to be doing an interview with somebody. And I feel that interview is important. It is important enough to supersede me going and doing this thing that I absolutely love doing. So I'm not sure which one I'm going to do. I'm probably going to wind up having one of my friends go down to this location. He'll do the show, but I just have to make sure he has equipment, because that location doesn't have equipment. And then I'll tell him he could book one or two guys around him, because he could do 30 minutes and leave if he wants to, or 20 minutes and leave if he wants to. But I'm sure he's going to want to, like, you know, he's there. He's going to want like have an hour, and that's fine, because that's what he wants to do. It's whatever. But more importantly, I want to continue to do the things over there. And if I like send one of my guys over there, like, you know, he can go have fun with these people and they have a better time when there's somebody around. Honestly, like when you send me into a location, you send, or send one of my friends into a location, usually we're not there to bring you new business. We're there to theoretically return your business. You have a Saturday card. I said this before in another episode, was that or another segment, that my job is like, I'll bring a couple people in that you've never seen before, but my main job is to make your Saturday crowd come out on Monday, Tuesday. My main job is to diversify the days of the week, like to spread out your work. And if that works out, then we both got a good job out of it. But initially, you got to get me in there on your good day. So this way, I can make your less good day look really good. Now, like I said, I want to take one of my friends and send him to this location. Hopefully, he has the equipment. Either that or I got to go drive down to this location, bring the equipment. And I'm very unsure as to whether I want to do that, because I like going to these places, and I hate it when I gotta not go because I have a meeting that I gotta attend, and I didn't realize that I had this this fun commitment at the same time as a less fun commitment. They're both things that I really want, but where I'm going to send my friend is the place that I would probably rather be. Not because there's less stress on me, but just it's so good for me. Like, psychologically, it's good for me to do that. It's good for me to do this too, because hopefully you guys are enjoying it. If you are, let me know. Tell a friend, but like, let's be a little secretive about it for right now. Just because I, you know, don't like just blast it out on your social if you happen to be listening to it, because I want this to grow slowly and organically. I don't want this to just be blared out, you know, like tell a friend or whatever. I don't know if I'm going to monetize this anytime soon, because I feel like if I monetize it, then I have to start doing this seriously. And then I have to start like putting out episodes like all the time. If you listen to the first episode, by the way, the first like full episode, that was not meant to be an hour and change. The first episode was really supposed to just be like, I had planned to only do a few minutes. By the way, that is how I handle stage time. I have walked up to my friends at my shows that I produce and said, yeah, I'm going to like, you know, hang tight. I'm going to do like 5, 10, maybe 15 minutes. And if I say anything over 5 minutes, one of my friends, and he's a very good friend of mine, I mean, really good friend, he'll just turn to everybody else and go, yeah, this is a good time to go smoke a cigarette, take a whiz, drop a deuce, whatever you got to do. If he said 15 minutes, he's going to be on stage for like 45. And I'm like, no, he said 15. It's like, trust me. If he hits a groove, he's not coming down. You're not. It doesn't matter if you light him. You can light him all you want. If you're not the owner of the place, he does. Like, if it's his show, he respects his light, and that's it. And the only reason I respect the owner's light is because that's the owner. The bartender could give me the light. That's the bartender. But if it, you know, if it's my show and a comic gives me, another comic gives me the light, I'll be like, yo, shine that thing in your own eye, because you're not going to blind me. I've been in much harder situations. Going back to that place earlier that I was talking about where it was a Monday show and I was doing the 40 minutes, right? This is why I kind of want to give my friend my show for this evening. Not this show, but the live show. One of the reasons I want to give him the show for the evening is because when I got access to doing that 40-minute spot where it was like, go do whatever you want, I was able to not just get through all my material. I was able to breathe. I was able to go and tell stories that I had just like, you know, I came back from vacation one time, right? And I was doing, I think I went on a cruise. This wasn't a job. I went on vacation. I went on a cruise, and I had all these stories about what it's like to be on a cruise. And I didn't realize how funny it actually was. It was just me getting the words out, getting the thought process out. And they thought it was very funny. And I was happy that they thought that. And I was very happy that I recorded it, because I used those jokes on locations, in venues, with a much older crowd that I knew would actually understand what it's like to be on a cruise, because the people that I was telling those jokes to, those stories to, those people were like in their 20s and 30s, maybe 40s at best. And it was a pretty low income section of that town, but that town also has a money section. Very strange. So I would go in there and I told those jokes, and they worked, and I recorded them. So then I went and I did those jokes again at a location where the audience was older and had more disposable income. So they actually did enjoy going on vacations, on cruises, and they understood what I was saying, and they're like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Sorry, I was doing an old person accent, and I just realized you can't see me doing an old person accent. It just sounds kind of weird when I do it, and you don't see my fist up in the air, like, because for whatever reason, when you're doing an impression of an old person, you almost always make them angry or confused. I did like a little thing with my throat. I curled my lip, and you know, my face was just kind of sour or squinty. And so it might have actually came out more annoying than anything else. And like, why did he change his voice for no reason? Regardless, that location, that kind of night where I was doing the 40, was worth me losing potential television time work out of that 4 to 5 minute spot in a big city where there was recording equipment. And in retrospect, it might not have been, but for what I wanted and what I needed and what I realistically now think might have been best situation for me, because I have a very funny feeling that I would not have taken the proper advantage of being in that situation and made something great of it, where a lot of my colleagues at the time made huge leaps out of that 4 to 5 minute late night spot at that club. And that's them. That just happens to be them. They are, what's the word I'm looking for? They have a very strong constitution about doing not just what is best for them, not just what is best for them, their friends, their community, but they are also, they live in that area. But they have a stronger constitution about that is their whole job. That is all that they do. So they ace or they fail. They don't have a backup plan, as far as I can see. Let's be real. They might actually all be hedge fund managers, and I just don't know about it. But I did see one of them I've seen a few of them on television shows, and they do late night television shows too. So whenever I see that, I don't call them up. I don't text them. I don't hit them up on social media to congratulate them, like, hey, I just saw you on such and such a show. You were acting in this, or I heard you on this show. Like, you know, great job, blah, blah, blah. And the reason I don't say great job on that. I don't congratulate them on that, because here's the truth. Them getting that is the congratulations. Them getting that is the great job. Them getting brought back is an even better job. And I'm extremely proud of them. If I see them, that's when I say, hey, I saw you on such and such. I was so happy for you. And they're like, yo, man, you didn't call me. I'm like, I know, because I don't want to be the guy that calls when you get to win the lottery. And then I'm like, yo, can you get me, like, you know, can you help me out? Because I know you won the lottery. Now you got something, you know, hook it up. Instead, I want, when I see you, for it to be organic and for me to be able to say to you, I'm proud of you. I'm happy I grew up with you. I'm happy that we did this together at some point. I'm happy for what you have accomplished. And I wish that upon myself, but I know that you deserve to hit that stride before me, because you put in more work than I did. You put in more diligent work than I did. And that's an opinion, by the way. That's my opinion. It doesn't mean that I'm right. I don't know a lot of things, but these are just my personal opinions, is how I look at things. So tonight, I really think I'm going to call up my buddy and see if he wants to do it, because the bartender, not the manager, not the owner, the bartender hit me up and asked me if we're going to do this thing tonight, because he knows I have other things going on. So I'm probably going to wind up giving my evening away to my friend, and it hurts. It hurts for me to do it. It really hurts. A lot of guys that are in my position understand why it hurts. I'm lucky I have this other thing to do where I can talk to you, because I like need it. I feel better after I do this. It's definitely not a therapy session for me. It's me recording the thoughts that were running through my head anyway, and deciphering whether or not I could be right or I could be wrong. And if I'm wrong, I want to find that out quickly. And if I'm right, I want to know quickly. But I will never admit that I'm right. I will just say, this is my opinion. This is what I think could be right. But I don't need to be right. I just need to be there. I just need to be at the party. I just need to be invited, and I'll be happy. I don't know. Maybe you guys are in the same boat as me. Maybe not. Regardless, if you need to know what's going on with me, just throw me a message, hit me on social, or if you personally know me, come up to me and like inform me that you're enjoying this. That way, at least I know. And regardless of all that, I'll catch you on the next episode. I'm not sure if the next episode is in 10 seconds or if the next episode is tomorrow or next week, but you'll know like immediately, because you could just look down. Anyway, this is Anthony Crescenzo. This is Why, and I'm not sure why. See you soon. Thanks. Bye.